Good evening. And welcome to our Maundy Thursday communion service, which is also a service of reflection as well as communion and giving thanks to God for his great gift for us. Maundy, what does it mean? Well, it's translated as maundatum, which we get the word mandate from, but also it's Jesus' command and his command to love each other as he has loved us. And so we come to the Lord in prayer with that in mind. Lord Jesus, on this Maundy Thursday, we gather as your disciples did, to listen to your voice, to experience your presence, to be moved by your deep emotions, but most of all, just to be with you. Our being here is a sign that you have called us, and our joy in your presence knows no bounds. You are our Lord. And though we can never really know what these moments of fellowship and sharing mean to you, we would not wish to be anywhere else but here, offering our praise to you, our Lord, and worshipping the one who holds us in your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first of our readings is John 13, and I make no apology for reading the whole chapter. So, as Del Boy would say, brace yourselves. John 13. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped round him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he had gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times." Thanks be to God for the reading of his word. And we take up that theme of servanthood as we sing Meekness and Majesty.
Thank you.
Second of our readings is from Matthew. The remainder of the readings will be from Matthew 26. And the first one beginning at verse 17. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" Jesus replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, 'Surely you don't mean me, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi.' Jesus answered, 'You have said so.'" You'll notice a theme from the songs that most of them are Graham Kendrick songs. I make no apology for that because I came to faith through a song called "How Much Do You Know You Are Worth" by Kendrick. And the second one that we're going to sing in a minute is one of the most beautiful songs I think has ever been written and put to paper. But there's another man called Michael Card, and I'm going to be quoting from him twice. His song is called "Why." Why did it have to be a friend who chose to betray the Lord? Why did he use a kiss to show them that's not what a kiss is for? Only a friend can betray a friend. A stranger has nothing to gain, and only a friend comes close enough to ever cause so much pain. And why did there have to be a thorny crown pressed upon his head? It should have been the royal one made of jewels and gold instead. It had to be a crown of thorns because in this life that we live, for all who seek to love, a thorn is all the world has to give. And why did it have to be a heavy cross he was made to bear? And why did they nail his feet and hands? His love would have held him there. It was a cross, for on a cross a thief was supposed to pay, and Jesus had come into the world to steal every heart away. Yes, Jesus had come into the world to steal every heart away. We pick up the reading from Matthew in verse 26 of chapter 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You don't have to, but if you want to join with me in the prayer that is printed on your service sheet, then please feel free to. If you don't want to, then don't. Holy God, on this night, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment to love one another as he loved them. Write this commandment on our hearts and strengthen us in service, in unity and in love. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, Sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." And we sing, "Come and see, come and see, come and see the King of Love. See the purple robe and crown of thorns he wears. We worship at your feet where wrath and mercy meet, and a guilty world is washed by love's pure stream. For us he was made sin, oh help me take it in. Deep wounds of love cry out, Father forgive. I worship the Lamb who were slain.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Before we take communion, to conclude our readings from Matthew, continuing in verse 47. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. "Come to the Table" by Michael Card. Come to the table and savour the sight, the wine and the bread that was broken. And all have been welcome to come if they might accept as their own these two tokens. The bread is his body, the wine is the blood, and the one who provides them is true. He freely offers, we freely receive. To accept and believe him is all we must do. Come to the table he's prepared for you, the bread of forgiveness, the wine of release. Come to the table and sit down beside him. The Saviour wants you to join in the feast. Come to the table and see in his eyes the love that the Father has spoken, and know you are welcome, whatever your crime, though every commandment you've broken. For he's come to love you and not to condemn, and he offers a pardon of peace. If you'll come to the table, you'll feel in your heart the greatest forgiveness, the greatest release. We come to a time of quiet and confession with these words. What kind of costly love is this? It is too extravagant for us to comprehend. What kind of peace is this you are offering that longs for us to be at one with the Father? What kind of joy is this that will pay any price, that we may enter your grace-filled kingdom? Come, Lord, and welcome even me, even us, to your table. Come and by your unbreakable grace, cleanse, renew, and infuse us with your mercy, that we may know the joy of your forgiveness. Amen. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, having blessed it, "This is my body, which is for you. Eat this in memory of me." Likewise, after the supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, sealed in my blood," the Apostle Paul said. Whenever you drink it, drink from it, all of you, for the forgiveness of sins. For whenever you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And as Jesus said, "I will not drink from the fruit of the vine again until that day when I drink it anew with you, with me, in my Father's kingdom." What a thought that is. The covenant relationship with Jesus. We shall eat the bread as we receive it. Body of Christ, body of Christ, body of Christ, broken for you. Lord Jesus, we have gathered to remember your dying and to give thanks for your sacrificial death. We are overwhelmed with a thankfulness that is too deep to put into words. You died for us that we might live in you. The shadow of your cross is forever captured in the bread that we have eaten and the wine for which we are about to share. They speak to us of a love that knows no limit and a grace that encompasses all things. Because of your grace, we can be made whole. The whole of heaven sings a song of praise, and every part of your creation echoes the hymn of glory. Come, Holy Spirit, and set us free to offer worship, thanks, and everlasting glory to our God, and blessing upon the name of his Son, Jesus. May the Holy Spirit make this holy meal a true sharing in the life and death of Christ. Lord Jesus, we meet around your table and receive your grace at your hand. We have joined with the host of heaven and given thanks for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. for this meal as being a picture of your limitless love and a sign of your eternal invitation to us all. Amen. And after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is my covenant with you, sealed in my blood. Drink from it, all of you, for the forgiveness of sins." And the Apostle Paul said, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We shall hold on to the wine and drink as one fellowship. The blood of Christ shed for us, let us drink with thankfulness and gratefulness in fellowship. Father, we thank you for the blood of Christ, from the cup for which we have drunk, and for the body of Christ, which was broken for us, represented by the bread. May these two elements become to us, for us, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we, with thankfulness and gratefulness, serve you in unity, in fellowship, and devotion. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Just want to read in closing from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul writes, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Thanks be to God. And we close with the servant king. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king.
Thank you.
just like to say thank you to Ruth, to David, for Bob. Without you, tonight could not have happened. Well, it probably would have, but not in the way that we would have have liked. So let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. The Lord says, go. This is not the end, but the beginning. This is not the finale, but an overture. This is not the conclusion, but the launch of a life of praise and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we say the words of the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God.